Opening your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. That's page 776 in your Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Verse 29. King James says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful again for this opportunity to look into your word, to examine, to allow the light of the good of the gospel, of the good news, to shine in our hearts, to illuminate our minds, renew our minds, bring salvation to our soul, so that we can leave this place and take something with us, something that we expect to hear and receive, as we just heard Sean testify. Thank you, Father, for our expectation to be towards you. We thank you that you have good things in store for us. You're always, constantly trying to speak into our lives. We have to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're speaking. So I thank you that tonight we can be attentive. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are the great teacher here, taking this written word and making it alive and real and practical, dealing with any traditions and doctrines of men that make the word of God of none effect. We just thank you for that breakthrough. As Pastor Mara is teaching, we can press forward, break through, break out into those areas that you have prepared for us. We just thank you for the promises of your word, and we just look forward to it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. I want to read this same passage to you in Isaiah 40, but this time I want to read the Amplified. Isaiah 40, verse 29, the Amplified. "He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." Now, the Amplified then puts in parentheses, "causing it to multiply and making it to abound." Causing it to multiply. So he's giving power to those who are fainting or who are weary. "To him who has no might, he increases strength." Well, if you don't have something, you're increasing something you don't have anything of, is an interesting statement there. I don't have anything, but you're going to increase it? I mean, zero times zero is what?
Zero.
Yeah. So when you think of it that way, if I've got nothing, he's going to increase it to what? I mean, no. Obviously, he's going to add something to me. He's going to multiply something to me. He's going to impart something to me that I need, that I'm lacking, that in the midst of my circumstances in life, he's going to say, "Here's something that you can trust me for and look to me for, because you within yourself probably can't manufacture it." That statement he says there in verse 30, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary." It's interesting because he's referring to the fact that the natural man, the human side of us, can only carry something so long. You know, have you ever tried to say, "Bless God, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible every day for 30 minutes, or I'm going to fast for a week, or I'm going to do this." And sure enough, within days, sometimes hours, something else comes along and interrupts your determination. Because you do that in the power and the strength of your own will. And guess what happens? You run into an obstacle. You run into something that diverts your attention and your purposefulness. And it says, boy, this is going to set you back. But when you do it in his strength, there's peace. When you do it in his strength, he multiplies it to you to the point where all those obstacles and all those temptations and all those things that come along, they don't hinder you as much. They don't bother you as much. They may even still be there. They may even still slow you down a little bit. But you know what? They don't stop you, because the momentum that you have going with his force within you, pushing you onward, says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Yes.
Not just "I can do anything I want to." I've heard some people say that. No, I can only do those things that Christ strengthens me to do. And that's where this comes in. He gives power to the faint, to the weary. To him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Look at verse 31. "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for, who hope in him," that's the Amplified, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Now, I can tell you from personal experience that my wife and I walked all over Disney World this last week. And your feet are going, I'm tired. Let's go back to the room. And you say, I can't. I have a fast pass for the next ride. And I have a reservation. I have to be there at exactly this time to get in the door. Otherwise, I have to stand in line for an hour. So you walk and you walk and you walk and you walk and you walk. Now, it's interesting because I used to work in retail, and so I was on my feet sometimes 12, 13 hours a day. So I always believed in having good shoes. And so I know what it is to walk and walk and walk and walk and put on a lot of miles in a day. And it was interesting because someone that was with us had bought some special shoes, but about halfway through the day, their toes were pinched, their heels were hurting, and I said, you should have bought some good shoes. Oh, I bought some good shoes. No, those aren't really good shoes. Those were good shoes that were cheap, and they were really cheap shoes that weren't too good. You need to walk and walk and walk and have good shoes. And so, you know, all of a sudden, they're walking kind of like this, weary, struggling. But, you know, if you've got the right shoes on, and the Bible talks about us having on our feet shod with the what? Preparation of the gospel of peace. And if you walk and walk and walk in the things of God, and you've just got peace, and you can just keep walking for hours and hours and hours and hours. And, you know, some of the things that we walked on, those hard cobblestone, you know, streets and sidewalks that they got down there, your feet can, you know, wow, if you're not careful. But this verse is speaking of us being connected to God, waiting on the Lord, expecting from Him, looking for something from Him, hoping in Him. That word wait isn't the kind of wait that some people interpret it as. I've heard people preach out of this, and it's like, oh, we're waiting on the Lord in His timing. It has nothing to do with the Lord's timing. It's not about that kind of wait. For all of you Hebrew scholars, it's Strong's number 6960 for your reference there, which means to look, to expect, and to wait patiently. There's something about that, in a sense, engaging with the things of God. You are looking and, in a sense, expecting something from God that He has promised. But to do that, you keep pressing in. You know, now forgive me, I'm going to use some illustrations because it's fresh in my mind, being just at Disney World this last week on vacation. You go up and you stand in line, and there's the fast pass line, and then there's the standby line. How many of you have ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? And you know what I'm talking about, a few of you, but some of you don't want to even admit it. Come on, I'm a Mickey fan, so it's all right. You walk up and you look at the fast pass line. Well, you're only allowed three a day, and we've already burned our three. I can't get in that line. So then you look at the standby line. 90 minutes? Are you kidding me? I'd have to stand in that line and go through this maze and back and forth for 90. You know, you can make some good friends in 90 minutes. Yeah. We met some really interesting people in some of those lines. We did, because, you know, we're friendly people. We talk to people. We don't stand around and go, I have to stand in this line for 90 minutes. Grumpy. Go over there in the Seven Dwarfs line then. No, you engage in conversations, you get to know people, where are you from, what brings you here, you find out what they're doing. It's interesting. I mean, we're in the people business, aren't we? Reaching out to people. And especially if you got to be in line for 90 minutes, you might as well make some time, do something with it besides be grumpy. But, you know, you have to make a decision. Do I really want to spend 90 minutes in that line? Most of the time we'd say no, and we'd go find another ride. But sometimes it's such an awesome thing, we'd think, that can't be right. And we'd get in the line, and sure enough, we'd be in there in 25 minutes. Because it's just, they're wrong. They're not giving you the right information. And see, we have to get in that, make that decision when it comes to the things of God. Am I willing to wait on the Lord? Am I willing to be expectation, my expectation, just hang on to the thing? Well, I want the things from God, and I want them now. What does faith say? Faith is the substance of these hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is when?
Now.
Now. Now faith is. Now faith is. So whether I'm standing at the beginning of the line, the middle line, or the end line, you know what? By faith, I'm already in it. I've got what I want. Yeah. By faith, I am exactly where I need to be. I am not going to be moved by whatever that little sign says. If it says 20 minutes, I mean, actually, one of the lines that said short, that was one of the longest lines. It lied. You have to understand that when it comes to things of God, I don't care if it's 10 minutes or 10 years. As far as God is concerned, me and Him, I got it now. And I'm going to act like I have it now. I'm going to believe as if I have it now. I'm going to talk as if I have it now. I'm going to walk as if I have it now. Because now faith is. That's where faith lives. And we're Word of Faith people. And I know, as Pastor Mary said during her message earlier, some people, you know, got a little concerned because, well, you're going through this situation with finding a building and there was a setback, and just before you're going to leave, things just all seemed like they fell apart. Aren't you worried? Aren't you discouraged? And I said, not at all. I'm going to Disney World. That's what I said. You know, I had the peace of God. We had this thing scheduled months and months and months ago. We made our reservations way back in February. And so, you know, I'm not going to go there and worry every day. Oh, I wonder what's going on at home. What good would that have done? That would have just stolen my peace during the whole time. Then I would have been grumpy. You know, it would have been not a fun time to be with me. And so you cast the care on the Lord, and you go on and you live your life. And you know what? You know, God's big enough to take care of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, by faith, I have the answer to what I need now. And I walk by faith, not by sight. Because my faith brings me peace. My faith brings me that assurance that whatever's going on, I believe that God knows bigger than me, better than me, and has it already figured out. And I just need to figure out what He already knows. So my job is to press into Him. My job is to keep seeking Him. My job is to wait upon the Lord. To seek, ask, knock, find out what He's got for me. And so it says, but those who wait upon the Lord, who expect, who look for, who hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. One translation talks about exchanging your weakness for His power. That's a great exchange, isn't it? You will always exchange your weakness, your frailty, your lack of whatever it is that you're dealing with for His abundance, for His peace, for His supply. That's faith. That's trusting in Him. And He says, they shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Now, in the Amplified Version, you really have to go back to verse 28 to figure out the context. Because in verse 28, it says, speaking of God, have you not known and have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of His understanding. So if God never faints or grows weary, that's where my trust is. He says, haven't you heard? Don't you understand? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator. He's not worried, so why should I be? If I put my trust in Him. You know, some people, aren't you worried about where we're going to go as a church? No. I've said this 100 times, and you're going to keep hearing it until it happens. The ram is in the thicket. Amen. Look at someone and say, the ram is in the thicket.
The ram is in the thicket.
Now, let me ask you this. The account of Abraham and Isaac and him about to sacrifice his son. I taught on this months ago when we first got into this process. And I kept reminding you of it all through this process because Abraham never saw that ram until the very last second. And I can't say prophetically that God, in a sense, prepared me for that, but that's the verse He gave me to stand on during this time. And so I've had a peace during all this time that we may not find the exact place we need or where we're going until the very last second. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I said, I know we're going. I don't know where we're going, but that's okay. Because God has prepared a ram in the thicket. I don't know what that looks like yet. Here, kitty, 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 you know. Whatever that looks like, I don't know. But we're looking for it. All right? Let me read the Message version to you. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? I love how he says it. God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to the dropouts. So don't drop out, guys. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Again, every translation you read, every version of this says basically the same thing. Wait upon the Lord. Expect from God the things that you're looking for. Wait patiently because your hope and your expectation and your faith are in Him who has promised you these things, and He is not tired. He is not worn out. He is not stopping to catch His breath. I like that. He doesn't. God. There were times when you were doing something and you got to stop and catch your breath. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just times that happens that way. But God's like, come on, come on, keep up, keep up. He's not stopping. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He is forward motion. Remember, two-thirds of God is what?
Go.
And that's what we are doing. We are going to keep going and keep going and keep going. Say, well, man, we really ran into a brick wall. No, not really. We ran into a few scattered bricks. But I wouldn't consider a brick wall. It was just another hindrance. And quite honestly, I don't know if it was a hindrance or a diversion. Yeah. I can't honestly say that. I will say this in all honesty. I've said this to a few people, and I was honestly hesitant to say this publicly, but I'm going to say it publicly. Back a few weeks ago, before this whole thing happened, I was praying one day, and the Lord started, I was praying out some scriptures and meditating on some scriptures, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
The Word.
What are you standing on? What's your faith built on? You know, if you're not standing on certain promises of Scripture, you're really not in faith. That's what Pastor Mary was teaching on in the Quick class. And so we were standing on certain scriptures. There were certain scriptures coming to me, and I started praying out about God opening doors and closing doors. And at the time I was praying for this, it was because we had a whole list of things that came at us in this contract that just were not acceptable. Two of them were absolute killers. These were not even possible to work negotiate around. And I made a whole list of those things. And one by one I addressed them. And at that time I had been praying and I just said, Lord, you can open doors. And you can close doors. And I went to Isaiah and I went to Revelation and I stood on a number of scriptures about it. And I just stood on them and I'd be confessing them and every day I was meditating on them and He would give us doors of opportunity, He'd give us doors of utterance, all those scriptures. You've heard us teach on them before. And so every day I would think about them. It says, think on these things. Think on these things. And the peace of God will keep you. Mount guard round about your heart and mind, it says in Philippians chapter 4. Okay? The trouble we have, this is where the danger is that we start to interpret our own application of a scripture. So when you say, well, I want God to open a door, I want God to close a door, well, I wanted Him to open a door and take care of these things. Well, see, circumstantially, guess what happened? I wrote up this list, gave it to our realtor, the realtor gave it to the owners, went back to their owners, all the partners, and they came back. And literally, they addressed every single issue and accommodated every single point that I made. Right down to the little point where it said that if a tornado comes through, if this happens, it's an act of God, and we, you know, off the little clause. And I said, I will not sign a contract and be in covenant with you when you think God did this. You will put on there and change your contract that says it'll be an act of nature, not an act of God. I said, I know it's petty, and you might think it's silly, but I will not sign that contract. He goes, oh, okay. I'll check with the lawyer. The contract came back. They changed it. Right down to the smallest little thing. And as you've heard, we were literally there that afternoon. I was ready to sign the lease. I was ready to get keys from the building. And at that afternoon, we get an email that the city got involved and said, oops, we can't give you an occupancy permit. So I'm like, okay. See, right then you have to think, is this the devil or is this God? Now, again, if you were here during the Equip class, what did Pastor Mary teach us? Follow after peace. You know the first thing that hit me when that happened? I had a release. I had peace. So I go, like, okay, I wouldn't have had this if this was the devil, because there's fighting this dog.
Right.
All right? I can tell you that. We wouldn't have lasted 30-some years if there wasn't. All right? There's fighting this one.
Yeah.
I don't mess around with this stuff. But I have to honestly say, as soon as that hit me, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was praying, Lord, for you to open doors and for you to close doors. And did you just close this one? I don't know. But I had peace. So I asked my wife, I said, what do you got? She says, this is exactly what she says. I feel like just something lifted. She says, I've got peace. I'm going, all right. All I can say is this, that there might have been something coming up. Maybe everything accommodated all the way right down to the little finest detail. But at the last minute, there might have been something in that contract. Because the only thing that I never had an absolute 100% on was the length of the lease. They wanted a 7-year lease. The first 2 years, they were giving us a really good deal on. I almost weren't counting it as part of it. There really was a 5-year lease is almost standard in the industry right now. And so the last 5 years were really what was they were counting on. The first 3 years, basically, the guy was going to lose money on us. And our realtor said, yeah, they are. They've discounted all these things because they want you in there. Well, then why didn't somebody go to the city to start to begin with? And instead of wasting 2-3 months like we did. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike back here helped me out. We brought this issue up. He even called our realtor. Our realtor talked to the guy. We talked. I went into the city hall, talked to 3 people. The day we're supposed to sign and get the keys, all of a sudden, it's like, blows up. Now, if I was all upset, and if I was like, this is the devil, I rebuke you. But I didn't have any of that. I was like, huh, this is weird. Okay, I preach follow after peace and pleasantness. So I got peace and this is pleasant. So, you know, I just got to the point where I immediately told my wife, I said, it reminds me of the story about the little kid who went into the barn and found all the horse manure, everything. And he got so excited. Oh, there's got to be a pony here. See, when you get hit with manure, look for the pony.
Yeah.
Hello. Come on. See, normally we would all think, oh, man, what's going on? And we'd just want to rebuke the devil and call everybody and have a prayer meeting and just, you know, have a Jericho march around the building. We would have done that back in the 70s in our ignorance and immaturity. But, you know, I've learned enough to follow after peace and to realize that whatever that is, I don't know. God's just got something better. And I realized that's not the ram in the thicket.
Yeah.
That was a goat. I'm looking for the ram in the thicket.
Yeah.
All right? So when you look at these, Psalm 37 says, those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Same word, exactly. Number 6960 in your Hebrew lexicon. So there's that expectation. There's that hope. There's that knowing that God has something for you. And regardless of the circumstance, circumstantial theology, which you hear us talk about, is when we see a circumstance or we see a situation and we build something out of that that isn't biblical. You start responding by what to what you see rather than to what you believe. I walk by faith, not by sight. Another psalm says, our eyes wait upon our God until He has mercy upon us. Or in other words, until the answer comes that He has prepared for us. You keep your eyes on Him. You wait upon the Lord. All of these verses come back to the same thing. There's something about that trusting in Him. We trust in our own strength. We're going to eventually get weary and faint and get in trouble. But if we trust in Him, if we look, it says He gives power. He energizes. He strengthens us, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. We can draw upon His strength. And so, I know that maybe some of you were praying for us. Oh, I hope Pastor's all right. I'm fine. In fact, I'm more than fine. I'm peaceful and pleasant. Hallelujah. I'm not I'm not doing a grumpy thing. A lot of you haven't been around long enough to know this, but back in the 80s, when God told us to move into Highland when we were living in Eagan, we went through a very similar situation. Some of you remember this. We had put down like $5,000 on a house here in Highland, and everything was all moving along. We had sold our house in Eagan, and everything was all set. And literally the day before closing, everything fell apart. Literally the day before. We had to move. We were on a schedule. We were required to move out of the house. But now we had no place to go. They had our $5,000 still, and we had to get that back. It was an interesting situation. Where we moved, physically, we got moved. I went and got a truck, drove it up to the house. Some friends showed up. We loaded up everything out of our house, put it in the truck. Literally by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like, well, this is cool. Now where do we go? The only place I knew to go that I had was an office here at the church. So we drove our truck here. We parked the truck here. I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if we have to, we're camping out at church. We're sleeping in the church for a while. So I got in the office, and I got out Villager and started going through the want ads and started making phone calls and looking at houses and stuff like that. And, oh, here, this one. So I called this guy, and first it was, and I said, no, I need someplace today. Huh? I said, I need someplace today. When he was selling this house, and I said, well, I need someplace today. For a short term, we're going to have to find someplace, but I need someplace today. So literally within a couple hours, we found a house to live in. We moved in right down here off of St. Paul Avenue. And by that night, we were in our new little house. We rented it for 3 months until he sold it. But in that 3 months, we were finally able to find a house that was actually better than the one we thought we were going to get. Yeah. And the one that we were getting, we thought was great. But this other house was actually cheaper and better. Now, isn't that always a good deal?
Yeah.
When you find one that's cheaper and better?
Yeah.
And when, again, it's just like the house we have now. We really thought, some of you heard me, I really thought we had found the house. And I was done. Jennifer can tell you, I walked in, I said, I was mentally moved into this house. I knew where my office was. I knew where the furniture was going to, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is it. All right, we'll go look at that other one. All right, it's the last one. All right. And as soon as I walked in, just like that, the peace of God, that still small voice says, no, this is your house.
Yes, right.
Oh, but I really like the other one. That's not your house. This is your house. Well, just like that, you know what you do? You adjust. You adjust your thinking to his thinking. You adjust your believing to his provision. And so, again, I don't know where we're going, but we're on our way. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice in the ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God. It's a cool trip. You know, I've contacted the pastor here. They've allowed us to, they and their elders met and have allowed us to stay for a couple more weeks. We may have to do like we did and find some place to stay for 3 months until the other building opens up. Because when it comes to leasing things, it usually takes 60 to 90 days. The last I left it with the city planner was he was going to contact the city attorney, and our realtor was going to contact a city attorney and find out what the situation was with leasing properties, because currently the way the laws are in Mendota Heights is you are not allowed to go into certain areas. You're only allowed to go into residential. So they say that they have accommodated the federal regulations that Nick and Mike and others have brought up to me. And they said, we're compliant legally. And I'm going, because you say I can't move here. You say I'm only allowed over here in these residential areas. But when I go into these residential areas, I'm now limited to only so many square feet. So you really aren't letting me go into those areas, because if I want 7,000-8,000 square feet and do what I want to do, you're actually going to say no to that too. So in a sense, you're saying, no, we're compliant to this, but we're not compliant to that. So you guys better get your law straightened out and tell me where I can go. So I left him after an hour's meeting. He gave me a map. I'm meeting Tuesday morning, hopefully, with them again, our realtor, and we're going to map it out, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to pinpoint and go take what the next steps are. So, again, all we've been asking you to pray for is wisdom.
Can I read something?
Jump up. Come on. I asked you to jump in when you can.
Some of you guys know who Robin Roberts is. Do you guys remember, those of you who've heard him? He's a genuine prophetic gift. We've been partners with him for many years.
He's preached here a number of times in the past.
And this guy's he's the real deal. And the cries, Dennis and Leanne were praying with him about this back within the last week or so, I guess.
Florida.
And anyway, she says, I won't tell you everything she says here, but she says, I wanted to give you an update on our prayer time with Robin and Carol, his wife, for you and pastor, and our tentative schedule for November. Okay. We prayed mostly in the spirit and, of course, spoke scriptures, but at the end, Robin was getting that the next church location has been protected, almost like it has been hidden from view. He spoke several phrases, but that was the main point he kept referring to. I'm going to contact Carol to see if she remembers anything else. And then there's just a bunch more personal stuff there. Then a little later she says, again, words for the church from Robin. Dennis had recorded this part on his phone, so we're hoping to get to hear that. Of course, Robin would always say, judge this with what is in your heart. But he said, moving forward. He said this over and over again, moving forward, making progress, right choices, right decisions. God has the right plan. And then this is interesting, like the Lord is holding it for the right timing and appearance might be in an area that has been overlooked. So, I mean, this guy, we've had many words from him over the year, prophetic types of utterance from him that have always just been spot on. So we're going to pray over this one for sure.
Yep.
Amen.
So we'll get that printed out and share that with those who desire to pray. We'll share that with the 242 groups to be praying over that on the prayer time during 242s. So, you know, I know we're facing a similar situation or circumstance today with the church like we did years and years ago with our house. We've been through this.
Yeah.
We've been through, and you know what? God makes a way.
It's only hard on the flesh.
Yeah.
It's all is hard.
And actually, that's where it tells you just to crucify your flesh. And that's not always pleasant. Lamentations. Lamentations is one of those books that you should read during a difficult time like this. Lamentations. You know what? Never mind. I won't say it anymore about that. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 says this. Lamentations 3:21, King James. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Now he's bringing something back up. He's recalling something that the Lord spoke to him. He's bringing back up. And what does it bring? Hope. Promises bring hope. When you read the Word of God, it should bring hope. Faith is the substance of things what?
Hope for.
For people, I've sat down over all these years many times with someone and they'll say, well, I'm in faith about this. Okay, what are the promises you're standing on? Where is the hope? The expectation? Because that's what the word hope is. Elpis in the Greek means a confident expectation. E-L-P-I-S. A confident expectation. Faith is the substance of things that you have a confident expectation of based on the promises of God's word that you have found. So what is your faith based on? So he says, I'm recalling something to my mind, therefore I have, in a sense, stirred up hope within me. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Now, again, this is Old Testament, and the author of Lamentations is going, whew, I sure am glad God's on my side, otherwise I'd be toast. As Sean was talking about with his little magnifying glass. Verse 23, they are new every morning. He's talking about his mercies. And great is thy faithfulness. Can you grab onto this one phrase? Not only are we to wait upon the Lord, but while we're waiting upon the Lord, one of the things that we wait on and have a confident expectation is on his faithfulness. God is faithful. Great are his mercies. And his faithfulness is for everlasting. And that's what he's saying is, great is thy faithfulness. He says in verse 21, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait, exactly the same word again, that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So there's something about that in quietness and that place of peace and pleasantness. We wait upon the things of God. We seek, we expect, we look to him. We don't look over at the circumstance. You don't look at this problem over here. You don't listen to this negativity over here. You don't listen to this naysayer over here. That's not what I'm going to be moved by. I'm not moved by those things. I'm going to be moved by what God has promised us and what God has spoken to us and what God has told to us. I don't have it all figured out from beginning to end. Some say, well, why didn't God show you that? He never shows us everything at the same time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be walking by faith.
Yeah.
If he showed us from the beginning from the end, half of it we wouldn't do.
Yeah.
If he showed me my life way back years and years ago when he told me and called me into the ministry in 1979, and I saw what I'd been through in the last 30-some years, I said, excuse me, I think I'll just stay where I am. Thank you very much, but no thank you. But it's better to obey.
Amen.
Obedience is always better. As I've said before, had I not answered the call of God, I probably would have been divorced by now. Had I not been saved by now, I'm sure I'd have been dead by now, the lifestyle I was living. So I am glad I'm born again. I'm glad I'm living for God. I'm glad I'm obeying God. And all this is just a momentary light affliction. This is, as my pastor wife says, MLA. It's the momentary light affliction.
Come on.
We'll get through it. You know, a year from now, we'll just laugh. 2 years from now, we won't even think about it. 5 years from now, I'll have totally forgotten about it. Because great is his faithfulness. So let me close with James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy. This is my standby scripture. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It doesn't say when you walk into them intentionally. It's when you fall into them. It's when things come along and you trip over them or you fall into them. You ever stepped in a puddle and you kind of lose your balance? That's kind of what it's like. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now again, what is it that is being built on the inside of us? Patience. Let patience have its perfect work, is what verse 4 says. It starts with the word but. But. Let patience have her perfect work. And you go back to Isaiah 40, verse 31, exactly the same thing. Talks about he gives power to the faint, them that have no might or increases, he increases strength. And he starts with verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Again here, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now you can go into the rest about it. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he gives it liberally, upbraideth not, again, open-handedly, without reservation, that it shall be given to you, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Why? Because if you ask in wavering, you're like a sea driven by the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're going to continue to trust God and seek his wisdom and wait upon the Lord, and we are not discouraged. I mean, I know someone commented, aren't you discouraged? No, I am not. I am going, at the very minimum, I will be like David and encourage myself that we hear from God and that we know his voice and that we will continue, because I believe we're headed in the right direction.
That's right.
So, I will wait upon the Lord.
Yep.
I will not grow weary. I will put my trust in him. I will not lean to my own strength or my own understanding. I am going to look for his strength. He's going to increase it. He's going to energize us. He's going to cause us to multiply. He's going to cause it to abound. All of these scriptures, again, are the foundation of faith that we can stand on and pray over as we continue to press forward. And I'll do the best I can to keep you in the loop as far as what God is doing. Again, from a natural standpoint, like I say, I'm set up a meeting Tuesday morning. hopefully everything will be arranged with our realtor to have that information from the city attorney, you know, everything that we're waiting on, so that we can sit down and say, all right, tell me where I can go. And as this prophetic word says, someplace that's probably hidden to us yet, someplace I haven't seen yet. Because I have driven a lot around that neighborhood. Jump up, please.
I don't mean what I'm going to say to be defensive sounding at all. But I think you guys have no idea what a blessed pastor you have.
Yes.
This man, the contract for this piece of property that we almost got into was a 25-page contract. I know that's not a huge contract, but it's a big contract. And it looked like there were so many flags on that contract and colors and notes and question marks. When he went through that thing with a fine-tooth comb. I hate that kind of stuff. I'm glad that wasn't my job. He went through that thing and he read every stinking detail of that thing. And there were so many post-it flags on there. Seriously, it looked like United Nations. I mean, when he left and even sat down with the realtor beforehand, and the guy was even surprised by some of the stuff that was in there, that they're just standard things, you know. So he's watching out for us. And like he said, he's spent a lot of time in prayer about this. This is not, but one of the things we felt when this whole thing came up about zoning was that because our heart is to go in and to be a blessing to any community that we end up in, we want to add to them and we want to be a blessing to them. The last thing we wanted was to start out in an adversarial position.
Yeah, exactly.
We did not want to create an adversarial position. And you know what? That's where we trust God to open the door. We trust God to open the right door and to show us the right place. But I just want you to know he has fought so hard and worked so hard for this. You know, he's not sitting at home eating bonbons. He's worked hard on this. So when it's going to be a day of rejoicing when we finally get into that building. And it's going to have been well worth the fight. But I just want you to know how that when I saw that thing, that contract that day, when he left the house to go meet with the realtor and the owners of this property, I was like, holy mackerel, this dog has a lot of fight in him. Yeah, so anyway.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. As she said, one of the things that I purposely intended to do was sit down with that city planner for an hour. I mean, I had him laughing. We were joking around. I wanted to make sure I was in a good relationship with him because he's got to go to the mayor and the city council and represent it and go to that city lawyer on our behalf. And we left it with him saying, that's fine. I need you to help us find a place. Because I let him know in certain terminology, because I'm a Christian man, he said, that he didn't want to be on the wrong side with God. And I didn't want to be in an adversarial relationship with the city where we were coming to serve and to bring something to that city that God had told us to come and do. I said, God loves this area. He wouldn't send us here to do this otherwise. And he was kind of like, oh, okay. And that first day that I met with the three people in the city hall, the first woman that I met at the desk when I told her the vision that God had given me and why I was looking, she thought that was just great. That's amazing. Because they didn't believe me when I first sat down with them and I had a map and I had driven all over. I said, here's the boundaries of what God has, I believe, given me as a vision to start starting point. Again, that doesn't mean we're not going to go beyond that. Because if that's already closed off to us, there might be something else hidden around here. I don't know. But again, God sometimes has to get you to go to point A to see you around the corner to point B, to get you to walk around the steps to point C, so he can get you to level D. All right?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if he just showed you level D, you're going, I can't do that. There's no way I can get there. But by the time you've already gotten to C, you realize, oh, that's not that far away now.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. There's something about that progressive revelation that God will do. But I was not about to get into an adversarial, conflicting relationship with them. I want to work with the city.
Yeah.
I want to work with them just like we worked You know, I found out what it was to be adversarial when we got in here, and I had all the business people and the HBA and everybody else coming against us, like, what is this? And then we found out all the lies and the rumors that have been spread about us. Well, dealt with that real quick, didn't we? Turned that thing around. And I'm planning to do the same thing. We are going to get involved in that community. We're going to get involved in the marketplace, because that's what God has told us to do. And so, how it looks, I don't know. Do we need to have it all figured out beforehand? No, we don't. I trust that God has seen ahead and made provision. And again, here comes the ram is in the thicket. And we're going to find that little rascal. And you know, when she said, well, we'll rejoice when we get there, I've already rejoiced.
Yeah, rejoice now.
I'm already rejoicing. When I get there, it's kind of like, well, okay, we're here.
Yep.
It's about time. You know, it's like standing in one of those lines for hours and hours. Do you know that there's people standing in line to go to the Avatar ride for 4 hours? That's nuts. 4 hours. You walked up and it said 265 minutes. At one point.
For about a 5 minute ride.
For a 5 minute ride. You stand in line for 265 minutes. Now I'm glad I got a fast pass.
Right.
Even the fast pass got us in there in about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to tell you this. It was an awesome ride.
Yeah.
Wow. If you go to Disney World, get a fast pass and go to the Avatar ride. I'll get off the microphone and tell you about it.
Yeah.
All right. Enough is enough. I went way over. So we're not discouraged. We're encouraged because God is on our side. How can you be discouraged when God is on your side? Sure. Go ahead.
Number one, so you mentioned peace. Do you mean by peace, release to leave pursuing this property?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I believe that property is now off the table. I absolutely, I'm released of it. Yes.
Okay. So you don't. You
know. No, you know, I initially it was like, do I fight for this or not? And then both of us talked about it, and we realized, no, I think there's something that we don't see right now about it that I don't want to be involved in.
Oh, okay.
There was a couple little things I don't want to get into the details of the contract that I questioned, that they made comments to, but I think legally they could probably come back and bite us. If push came to shove, and those were, you know, because it's a 7-year lease, I might have 3.5 years of good things and 3.5 years of tribulation. I'm not going to go there. So I said, I'm not going to get into a contract of the 7 years of tribulation.
But there's a side where Paul appealed to Caesar too. So
yes.
There's something where you don't have to be. You don't have to have angst in an adversarial relationship
right.
to pursue something legally.
Right.
It can just be very matter-of-factly.
And we are pursuing it legally. We're pursuing the legal side of what's legal and what's not. Because literally right now, the way it looks, you can't go here, but you can go here. But when you go over here, you can't do this, so you really can't go there. So it's like, where's in between? There isn't.
Yeah.
So they're really saying, we don't want any more churches in our community.
Well, Paul's a prisoner at that point, too.
Yeah. And at that point, what they're saying to us is...
And he pursued them above the level he was...
But he ended up getting killed. Josh, here's the point.
Yeah.
I am not going to get into a legal battle because it'll take months to settle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have months. And I don't believe that was where we're supposed to go with it. I don't believe the thought... I went through 3 years of a legal battle with this building, and it just about destroyed me. I will not go down that road again. And it cost us $25,000 in lawyer fees. We'll not go down that road again. And we got nothing out of it. Absolutely nothing out of it, other than to say we were right and the judge ruled in our favor, and we got nothing out of it. Not a penny. Not a thing.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Nope.
Because I'll follow you into peace. If that's what you've got peace for,
yep.
But we have scriptural ground to also appeal.
And we are appealing. Now, you're not listening to what I'm saying, Josh. We are appealing. We don't know what that appeal will bring. Paul did not know that when he appealed to
when he was in Jerusalem, or when he was sent.
But he also said, "Hey, I'm a citizen."
Well, that's right. But see, again, now what was the end result, Josh? You're taking an illustration to an exact to an end that may not apply in this situation, because we are making our appeal. I'm appealing to Caesar, so to speak. I'm appealing to the federal law, the federal government, at the local level, saying, "How does this work?" Nick has given me about five different articles, and he's burying me in information. And so I've been wading through them. I haven't even read them all yet. And all of them have the same thing, that there are certain things that the government, local governments, can get away with, but there are certain things they are not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. They cannot say no to, say, a mosque or a temple or a synagogue. Problem is, as a Christian, there's all kinds of properties already designated as churches, and that's how they're getting away with it. They do not want to have another piece of property taken off the tax rolls. And I told the guy to his face, I said, "I am not interested in buying. I am a 501c3 corporation. I am a business going into a business park, leasing from another business. My payment will pay the taxes. I'm not taking it off the tax roll, if that's what you're concerned about." "Oh, no, no, that's not what it is." And I said, "Well, then what is it?
Yeah, right.
Tell me what it is." "Well, I'll have to talk to the city attorney." So the issue is, we are appealing to, in a sense, Caesar, the federal government. I'm asking him to go to his lawyers and interpret how they are going to figure out, okay, if I can't go here and I only can go there, but if I can only go there, I can only go into property that's already designated for churches. The problem is, there's already a church there. So where do I go? I can't go here. I can't go here, but only churches in the residential area are permitted, but you won't let me buy a new piece of property and build a new church. Okay, so in other words, I got to find a church that's willing either to sell it to me or lease it to me. And that may be the hidden thing that we were, actually that's what we were praying about. So there might be a church somewhere hiding.
Peek-a-boo.
Yes.
I just wanted to share something. Since the beginning of this, I've never, you know, after we had the meeting, we talked about it, and I'm going home, I had to carry it, and I cannot get a peace, and I said, but I don't want to be the one standing in the way, so I'm just going to pray in the spirit, and I will just, you know, whatever direction, but everybody else kind of seemed okay. And when you sent out that email, and I read it, I just had this, like, that same thing. And when you just said that tonight, it was just like inside, I was like, that is confirmation. And I prayed about it, and what I got from the Lord is He said that because of your faithfulness, your diligence, and your integrity, that He was shutting the door because of things down the line that you wouldn't see.
Yeah, and I believe that that's potentially exactly what Robin Roberts was praying about, and that's my gift of suspicion as well.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
And again, you can go back to the message I shared back in June and July. Those two couple messages way back then. This is 5 months ago that I started sharing this, and I wish I could see way back then. I was almost preaching prophetically that we were going to get to a place where I can't see that ram in the thicket until the very last second. I didn't see it then, but I understand it now. Thank you.